rest in our life. And it's a powerful concept that we need to understand biblically, that you are a God of rest. And you've called your people not only to rest, but you've called us into rest with you, because of you. And I pray that you help us to explore that more in our own lives. Father, I thank you for bringing us here for the study of your word. We recognize that there's some new students in our class, and we pray that you help us all on this journey. Open our hearts, soften our hearts, because we need you to do that. There's many ways in which the enemy, the world, and even just ourselves, we harden our hearts, which causes us to not be able to receive the message in which you want to speak to us. And we want to hear your voice, Lord. We want to hear you, and we want to know how you speak to us today. Help us, Lord, to be not quenching and pushing the Holy Spirit away, which is what your Bible warns us of, to not quench and push away the Holy Spirit, but help us to be willing and say yes to the Holy Spirit's conviction in our life. So speak to us, show us what you want today, even in the Sunday school class, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I want to welcome some new adults in our group. We have some adults in our group here. We have, I'd like to welcome Kevin into our midst. He's a new college student. And Steven, he's a college student. Milton and Ellie and Savi, I want to welcome them into our Sunday school class as adults. Okay? So they are. So we cannot say, oh, this room is full of kids. It's not. These are now, we're all aging here. So as they get older, I'm just getting older. And I'm glad that we have young adults here in our midst. They're going to bring to us a whole good perspective. But we also want to welcome the young ones, because we've had some young ones that have been demoted into our class. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. You guys understand my subtle jokes, right? Ha ha. Okay. So we welcome, like, John has been upgraded into our class. And Sophia has been upgraded into our class. They were actually kicked out of their younger class. And yeah, Wendy's been in here too, right? Wendy has added into our Sunday school class. All right, Camelia is here. There you go. That you're hiding in the back there. We do have some young ones here, right? So it's good. I as a side note, I just want to just challenge you guys for a moment. I love teaching. I'm called to teach. I've been teaching for I don't even know how long now. I started teaching children, and people were telling me I wasn't that good of a teacher, but I kept working on it and kept working on it over years and years. And I can see that that's an area that God's helped me with. But I shouldn't be the only English teacher, right, for 11th grade and up, or 10th grade and up. Our class, on some days, on a lot of days, today we have a whole table open, but on a lot of days, this class is, you know, coming to 30 people, and it's getting hot up here. And I think that we would benefit from having this class, what do you call it when cells divide, right? I mean, not in a bad way, right? But we can kind of multiply in that way, huh? Mitosis, that's the one. Mitosis, you know. Gosh, I used to be good at biology. Never was really a good science guy. So if we if we could one day, and you pray about it, not immediately, don't just say yes, but you know, think about it and pray, we could be looking at having another class, right? And so there's a little bit more of an advanced class, and then there's more of a younger class, and it helps you, trust me. When you teach, it just helps you. It helps you grow so much, but I'm not gonna put that as a, you know, you should never do it out of guilt or out of shame. I would never guilt or shame you guys. I probably would have done that about a year ago, but try not to guilt or shame people into teaching. But it is a great opportunity. And some of you, what the Bible says, and when we preached at the co-workers retreat, we talked about spiritual maturity. I said that in the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews was saying, you guys have been in church long enough that you ought to be teachers by now. You ought to be teachers, but you're not. You're still drinking spiritual milk, and you're not moving on. You're not maturing. You need to like move on to the next level. And I hope that some of us can. Let's not take that as a like a shame or guilt thing, but it should be a challenge for us that some of us just need to be encouraged to take a step. There's a seat up here, Joshua, if you want, or back there, whatever. is that you can pray and think about maybe you can be entering, maybe you're in a season of life where you'd like to explore some teaching. And I'd love to train and work with you and start up another class so this class can be cut in half and get a new class going for younger believers or people who want more, you know, who are not ready for meaty stuff but kind of still in the milk stage. Trust me, if you've been at church, like if you've been growing at church for anywhere close to 5 to 10 years, you're probably ready to teach spiritual milk to others who need it. Because by now, in the book of Corinthians, actually, the church in Corinth. Brain fart for a second. Give me a second. I'm just getting old. Paul was only got. Where's the other passage where Paul's talking about spiritual milk? Is it in Corinthians, right? Corinthians, right? Okay, he's talking about you should be, you know, you want to move on. You know, infants have spiritual milk, but you got to graduate from spiritual milk, right? Check me on that. It's in Hebrews and Corinthians. In Corinthians, Paul was really kind of upset that they didn't move on from spiritual milk to milk. And spiritual maturity in Paul's eyes should have occurred within 5 years. Within 5 years. 5 years. Okay, I'm not trying to guilt you guys, right? But 5 years is what Paul says. How do we get that number? Because when Paul left Corinth, he left and then wrote this letter to them after 5 years. So they were new believers in Corinth, and he went away and he heard about them. He heard about their immaturity, and he wrote back and was like, why have you guys not graduated on to the meat? Why have you not graduated on to the meat? Okay. Chair up here. Chair over there. So I think it's pretty fascinating that Paul indicates, it doesn't say that the year is five, but the time that Paul wrote the letter was 5 years after new believers were there, and he's indicating that by 5 years now, being around the Word of God, being among a people of the Holy Spirit, you're way behind. You're way behind. Right? And And again, I don't want to discount that some people may have real, genuine, broken areas, okay? As your pastor, I know that that exists. Some people are really stunted or held back in their faith because of really some bad stuff going on in your life, okay? But on the average, when Paul was talking to the church in Corinth, it's like, you've been a church for 5 years. You're actually around good teaching of the word. Like, you should be way farther along by now, right? And Paul did that as a little bit of a rebuke, which I'm trying not to do today so that you're not guilt or shamed, but I want you to understand that we ought to be able to have some other teachers in this room to be able to divide this class in half. All right? We should be able to have other teachers who are just willing. So I'm just going to encourage you to pray about it and think about it and work with me, and we could kind of figure out how we might be able to cut this class in half and give some options for people. Because I could take the class maybe into a more deeper, meatier, theological, and really spiritual grinding class that really is going to dig deeper on our spiritual lives. I love to have a class that is like that. It's not for the faint of heart. It's the willingness to be like, we're really going to get deep on our spiritual lives and get deeper in theology and the Word of God. And then have another class that's kind of going through the basics. Because in this class right now, I have to kind of be mindful of everybody, and that's certainly okay. Yeah? You guys with me? Yeah. So on a happy note, right? You know, there's no like condescension or guilt or shame in that. But Paul offers those rebukes, and I think it's a perspective. I don't think anybody ever realized that, according to Paul's eyes, 5 years in a pretty solid church, he would expect you to be spiritually mature, right? So something to think about. And did I already pray to start the class? Yeah. Okay, good. All right, so we're back in Leviticus here. We're in Leviticus. That was all a welcome for our young, you know, our new adults, our new young adults, and our new young ones. It's a welcome, okay? Happy. Everybody smiling? Good. Smile to your neighbor. Say, I'm glad to be here this morning. Okay. Or you're not, because you're like, this guy's a jerk this morning. I'm not trying to be a jerk, man. Seriously, I'm trying to keep it real. All right, so we're in the book of Leviticus. We're going to be here for a few more weeks. The reason why you're in that is, so sorry for the class. You've heard this a million times, but if you have now started to come to this class, I would love if you join us in the devotional book. If you haven't already, I think you guys, even in the younger classes, have had the devotional book, right? You can move on to the adult version of it now. And this is Durano Living Life, and we've been going on this journey. I'll bet you that some of you right now, through Leviticus, your pages are still really crispy, because you're just like, okay, I'm having a hard time doing my devotion to Leviticus. How about, yeah, let me just skip this. Let me read the articles in here, all right? Like, okay, I've been there with you. I'm like, let me read the editor's like article in the beginning today for devotions. So I'm like, oh, all right, I get to read like Igniting Justice. Because I'm like, oh man, God's word. Okay, Leviticus, here we go. Let's get back to Psalms, you know, and we are. We're gonna be in Psalms again. The guys who do this like are always like, all right, we just had a really tough Old Testament book. Let's go to the Psalms, right? So that's where we're going again, right after this. But please do, especially if you went to coworkers retreat last week and you heard the message. One of our core values about being people of the Word of God. I just some of you may find yourself a little bit drifting from God even today. And sin is entering into your thought life, and sin is entering your life. It's a bad cycle. You know that when you start to drift away from God, it's always easier to keep drifting. You, right? You guys know what I'm talking about? it's easier to keep drifting and it's harder to get back on. You guys know Harvest Crusade, Greg Laurie, right? Greg Laurie, people used to ask him to sign their Bibles, right? And I think that's just the weirdest thing. It's not like he wrote the Bible, right? But that's what happens when you become a celebrity pastor. And if I ever become a celebrity pastor, which I pray to God that I wouldn't, but if I ever do sign someone's Bible, would you just take the Bible? If you see me, I give you the right today. Take the Bible out of my hands and just smack me in the face with it and be like, what's wrong with you, Pastor Alex? Dude, you talked against this, right? I'm not ever signing someone's Bible unless it's a gift from me and I write encouragement to see, like, walk with the Lord. Sign Pastor Alex. Here's a give Bible. Like, yeah, I'm going to sign your Bible as if I wrote it. I didn't. But Greg Laurie would write this really cool thing because he recognizes that we all have a tendency to drift away from the Lord and that we have a tendency to, even the first step of drifting opens a door for sin, and then we just keep drifting. He would write this phrase: sin will keep you from this book, right? This book, sin. He would write, sin will keep you from this book, and then he would write, but this book will help keep you away from sin. The reason why I want us to be a people of the Word is because even the discipline and even the effort of saying, God, I want to sit before you, and I know it's Leviticus, and I know, God, I'm just gonna go to the article today, like really fast, really quickly. Even the effort of that is good, okay? Just sitting down before God and just saying, God, I'm having a hard time in Leviticus today, but I want to hear from you. Can you work in my heart? I want to offer myself to you. God, I'm drifting. And I want to get back with you. Okay? That's sitting in front of the Word. Talk to God. The habit of sitting down with God's Word and talking with Him, and even though sometimes you're just trying to get through a book, like this title says, you lost me at... What do I say? You lost me at Leviticus. Leviticus causes even the strongest of Christians to just, the eyes glaze over. And you're like, right? And I have some crispy sections in here. Seriously, because I'm like, okay. All right. I'm going to read something else today. Right? I'm going to read something else in God's Word. I've done that. I've been there. I'm like, Leviticus, no bueno. Okay? And so I want to be honest with you, but just a habit of coming before God and saying, this is my set time in the morning. This is my set time. And you know, God, I'm just not up to reading your word today, but I want to just hold it. And I want to read something in Psalms. And I just want you real bad. I need you real bad. I'm drifting. God, I need you to bring me back. You guys with me? Right? And that's what a devotional life is about. Okay, and that's what the Word of God is about. So I want to encourage you, young ones and you new young adults, have a restart. I know some of you have stopped ordering these because you're like, I'm just collecting a collection that I'm not reading anyways. Good for firewood burning. We'll bring all our unread Durano devotionals to the next youth backyard camping, and we'll have a bonfire of God's Word or something. That's so sacrilegious. That's so wrong. But that's kind of what we're doing when you, like, that's what you did, because you're like, I'll forget it, I'll stop. Yeah, hey, Mimi, take me off. Like, and trust me, I don't see who's on the order sheet, okay? So I don't judge. I don't judge because I can't see. And I keep away from that stuff because I don't want to be like, Milton, stop his subscription to God's Word, you know? But if you have, it might be just you're like, I'm not even in it anymore. Or you're like, I just want to read my regular Bible, but I don't really read that either. I'm just out of God's Word. I want to encourage you, reset. Start the school year on the right foot and kind of reset and say, hey, God, I want to commit to meet with you every morning for 10 minutes, for 20 minutes, for 30 minutes. I want to give time to you. I'm going to brush my teeth, drink my coffee, or pour my coffee, or I don't know, you drink coffee now, right?
No.
Still not, okay. But, you know, God, I want to set up my 10, 20, 30 minutes just to sit with you. Okay. All right, it's a good time to reset. That's why we're in the book of Leviticus, okay? A lot of talking. I'm not wasting time, but there's just so much to cover with the new students. We welcome you, okay? Like, especially Sophia, it's her first time. Camelia, it's your first time. So we specifically welcome you guys here. All right, so Leviticus, I'm not going to go through all the review, but I will. We were using our smart board, right? This is our smart board, and because we're super high tech here in this class. And we ended on this text, or we've been on chapter 1, verse 1, for a little while. But what I showed you guys last week, or 2 weeks ago, was remember there was a pastor who led a wedding, and he preached from Deuteronomy, I think it was 29, all the blessings. And then you're kind of sitting there going, all right, but the context of this passage is there's a section of blessings and there's a section of curses. Right, you guys remember that? Right, that's pretty cool. Right, so if you get there, right, so he did the wedding and he was like, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. And blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb. Oh, I'm going to preach this blessing over you on your wedding day. I'm going to be officiating a wedding in like less than a month, 20 days. And I would love to bless a wedding with this blessing. But if the guy kept reading in chapter 28, what would happen? What if he kept reading and preaching from Deuteronomy? Because then he would have to end up going, because it continues, but let me tell you, young couple, if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God or be careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. I'm going to curse you in the city, God. Or God says, I'm going to curse you in the field. I'm going to curse your basket. I'm going to curse the fruit of your womb because you didn't follow me. I'm going to curse you. You didn't follow all of my commands. Right? So last week we were like, this is all part of what we call the law in the Old Testament. And we talked about how do we read the law? How do we, when we read that part of the Bible, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, and there's a lot of law in there, how do we read it? Right? And I didn't want to do this, but for the younger ones, we got to understand that is under the Mosaic covenant. That's under what we call the old covenant, the old treaty, the old agreement. And that's what forms most of the Old Testament. It's under a different covenant. Today, we're under what we call the what? New covenant. It's different. I'm not going to cover that today. But you have to understand a lot of these laws apply to that. We're going to go into that later. I'm going to skip all the rest of this stuff. But what we saw is when you read Leviticus, you should ask the first question is not, ooh, what is God trying to say to me about me? Because that's totally American narcissism. Whenever we read the Bible and we have a little Bible study, we say, what is God telling me? Oh, God's telling me all the blessings are for me. No. We don't start there. Especially when we read in the Old Testament, the first question we ask is, what does this passage tell me about God? Yeah, okay. So if you're new to this class, that's a note you want to write down. We take notes in our class. And you want to be like, when I'm reading Old Testament law, the first question I want to ask when I do Bible studies or my devotion is, even the Durano Living Life has an error. They don't follow this all the time. When you're reading Leviticus, here's all the devotional questions. When have you witnessed? You know, here's another question. How do you allow God's word to examine your heart, right? What difficulties do new mothers in your community experience? What? Yeah. And you're like, and that's why I'm reading the article. I'm like, wait, first, we got to start when we read the passage in Leviticus, we got to ask a number one question, which is the top of the Old Testament cake. What does this tell me about God? What does this tell me about God? And last week when we did that, you guys actually had a lot of stuff. Okay, this is like just getting super messy. But you guys said God speaks. God initiates. God is a God of order. God wants relationship. See, these are the things that you start to realize about God. And you're like, God restores and provides relationship with his people. God demands the best, because they're talking about the best offerings here. It has to be a costly. It has to be costly when you give it to God. It has to be from your heart. God looks at your heart without blemish. He requires action. And you guys said the word holiness. God is a holy God. See, that's from you guys reading this passage on our smart board. And in the span of a few minutes in class, you guys came up with what this passage tells us about God. Isn't that cool? Okay, that's what we got to do. I'm going to move our smart board away now. Okay. So today, I want to start with this question then. Since you guys brought up the word God is holy and this concept of holiness, where have you seen or used the word holy? Where have you seen or used it? Like, do you see it when you drive into McDonald's? Like the holy McNuggets? Like, do you see the holy burger? When you go to Baskin-Robbins, do you find the holy flavor? Like, where do you see and where has this word holy been used? Talk about it in your group real quick, a group of max three people. Just have three people in your group and talk about it. Everywhere you've seen the word holy being used. And let's think of some examples, okay? Go ahead.
It's just saying, like, holy.
Holy guacamole. Because that's at Taco Bell, right? Yeah. I've seen that before. Taco Bell. Holy guacamole. Okay. All right. What are the different places that you've seen the word holy? Let's shout it out. Let's kind of go around in our little groups and see where we've heard or seen the word holy. Go ahead. This group right here. In songs. Like what song? Sing a song for me. Like what?
We're holy.
Huh? What? Okay, our musicians are gonna sing a song. What is it? Are you gonna have one? Huh? What was the song? Daniel was singing the song. What was it? How does it go? I don't hear the song. Oh, he goes up the high octave too. Okay. Holy, there is no one like you. Okay, referring to guacamole. Referring to God. Okay, good. What else? Yes.
I'm not sure if this is appropriate. It's holy frog.
Okay. Right? Or holy cow. Right? Where have you seen a holy cow before? Right? You actually see it in the Bible. People try to make it holy. But you don't see, the Chick-fil-A ads do not say these are holy cows. Okay, but yeah, Wendy's saying you hear it in expressions when you're mad, okay? Huh? Or surprised. There's a restaurant called what? Okay, where? In Arcadia? In Arcadia. And what do they serve? Okay. Oh, holy crap. Okay. So there is a restaurant named Holy Crab. Okay. Holy Crab. Good. What was the story? Like, I remember my son used to have a shirt that had a crab on it. And when he was really young, he was learning these words. He's like, oh, this, we're like, this is Pang Xie in Chinese. And he would say Pang Xie. And then we teach him English. This is called crab. And they're like, oh, kind of like how people say holy crab, holy crab.
And, right? Like, oh, this is what, that's what Gugu says all the time when I, like, she needs to change my diaper. Oh, crap.
Oh,
crap.
Oh, yeah. Do you guys hear that? So he was learning crab and punction, English and Chinese, and then we're like, this is crab. This is a crab. And he goes, oh, that's what my aunt always says, Gugu always says when she's changing my diaper. She goes, holy crab, holy crab. So, yes. Okay, we have holy crab, like a restaurant. Okay, what else? Where else do you see holy being used? This group, next group, then.
The front of the Bible.
The front of the Bible, like this. The Holy Bible. Very good.
Good answer, good answer.
Good answer. How about in the back there?
It's the book of Revelation quite a few
times. Okay. Right. And in what context do you see it? What does it say? What's it saying?
Opening the seals, opening the...
Okay, opening the
judgment, the judgments.
Okay, and then it just says what? Holy? Holy seals?
People say like it's written on their headband.
Uh-huh.
Like, holy, holy, holy.
Okay, holy, holy, holy. What? What does it say?
Okay,
it's very good. Holy, holy, holy. We see it in the Bible, in Revelations, and other places. And usually, what is it saying, though? Because the key word is those three, but the three words, the triple use of the word is emphatic. And it means it's really, 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 really this. If I'm saying it three times, that's the Bible's where I'm saying this is really, 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 really super, super, super holy. But we have to understand what it's describing. So Scott says, it says seals and there's a headbands and it's saying holy, 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 what? What does it say? Okay, the Lamb, okay, yes, and it says, finish the sentence for me. Holy, holy, holy is the what?
Lord God.
The Lord God Almighty. Good, right? So we got to understand when the Bible says holy, 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 that's the triple use of that. That's like really bad. That's like when you're buying the, back in the days when baggy was super in, okay? Because that's, it's going to come back too. So we're going to all laugh. Keep your pictures of Milton. Because in the future, when the style becomes super baggy, you know, and he starts wearing all these baggy clothes, you're going to be like, haha, I remember when you used to wear, like, spandex, like, shirts, you know? Right? And so when you want to get the super small size, like Milton has to get to wear for, then he has to get the, not just the XS, you have to get the X.
Children's
XS, because that's super tight. One day in the future, he's going to go XXXL, because he's going to want to look cool in the baggy days, right? Right, when it becomes baggy. So whenever you see the three, that's like the emphasis. Like, this is not just S or L. This is XXX. This is holy, not just holy God. It's holy, holy. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Right, good. So we see it in songs, we see it in passages, we see it in sermons, you hear it in prayers. Exodus 3 says, do not, okay, I'm starting from the earliest uses of holy. Exodus, sorry, this is just too small, and I don't know why I do that sometimes. I'm working too fast on slides. Do not come near, take your sandals off your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. Who, what was happening here? Who was talking? God was talking to who?
Moses,
right? Hey, in the what? What was it? What was happening? What did you saw? Burning bush. There was a burning bush, and Moses in the Bible was like, if you see a bush on fire and it's not like, there's no smoke, right? You're like, oh, that's so cool. I want to go check it out. He's getting close. Do not come near. Take off your dirty shoes, dude. For the place on which you stand is holy ground. Okay, that's one of the first instances of this concept of holiness. And something's happening in holiness, right? Okay. Exodus 15, right? What book is Exodus in the Bible? Second book, right? That's where we're seeing this stuff. Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome and glorious deeds, doing wonders? I think I might have one more. And then we flip over to Isaiah. Remember, we see Isaiah, and Isaiah says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So we see these things. So now, talk in your groups. How do we usually understand holiness? How do most people understand holiness? What's common definitions of holiness, and how do we understand holiness? Talk in your groups real quick for a few minutes and see if we come up with some definitions. We'll write them on the board. Yeah, give us your children worship answers as much as you can. There you go. Everything you've learned. Okay. I'll be looking ahead. All right. What are some of the concepts you guys have of what holy means?
Set apart.
Wow. You said justice?
No, set apart.
Okay. Set apart. Okay? Set apart. Yes?
Without sin.
Okay, without, good, without sin. What else? Not sin. Without, not without your sin card. Without sin. You said sin, right? What else?
I'm not sure if there's a word, but I think it's unapproachable.
Okay, unapproachable. Okay, yeah, I like that. That's cool. I like Wendy's just going for it, and you don't have to have a right answer in this class. We just want discussion and thinking. As you can tell, if you've already graduated from another class, this class is all about working through ideas, right, together. All right, Joshua.
Some of that didn't grow up in the church, it would be like super something.
Super something. Say that again. I don't understand. Super Libra?
So if you said like something like what she said, like holy super crap, it's like pretty much not, it's not just crap.
Okay, oh, okay, okay. Yeah, because when you're saying holy crab, the restaurant, I don't think is saying this is crab that is without sin. They're saying this is super crab.
Yeah.
Okay. So the world is thinking the concept of super, or are they thinking super? What are they? What is a non-Christian store owner doing calling their restaurant holy crab?
Elevated,
right? Okay, good. So somehow it's elevated, okay? And in this class we use dying markers so that you have to really strain and focus and pay attention. Because after a while, I'm just going to be writing white. And you're going to be like, yes, I've remembered that now because I've seen it on the board. Okay? So as you, as a non-Christian world is using, I like that, is using super. It's elevated. It's not just crab. It's holy crab. It is elevated crab. It is the next level crab, yeah?
It's ascended. Okay.
Huh?
Ascended.
Yes, ascended crab. This crab has, this crab resurrected from the grave. This crab is risen. Okay, what else? Any other definitions?
Pure.
Pure, okay, pure, yes. Another hand.
Oh, religious.
Okay, pure, good, religious. And he specifically said purity. So purity is a concept of what? What's pure? Huh? Okay, without blemish. Now we're getting to some great Christian lingo here. Without blemish. Okay, good. Without blemish. What is blemish? I have blemishes because I have a lot of pimple scars. Is that my blemishes? I have bad skin. What is blemish referring to?
Sin.
Ah, okay. So pure is without blemish. without sin? Give me some other words. You guys are so children worship in here, Sunday school. A blemish is not just sin, it's
a mark.
Like a fall, okay?
Flaw.
A flaw?
Imperfect.
Yes.
Imperfect.
Imperfect. Good. Come on. Synonyms. Other biblical words you can think of.
Defect.
Huh? Defect. Okay, good. Defect. Yeah. Well, that goes back to this passage we read, right? It's defective. Okay? What else? Come on. Keep going. Keep working through your mind because this is building our definition. Huh? Tainted. Wow, tainted, okay? Good. You guys would do well at these word games, right? Don't just stop at sin. Keep going.
Irregular.
It's not right. Ah, interesting. Okay, so that goes to the definition, right? So irregular. Okay, so you guys could barely see that. That's how good it is. The better the answer is, the less the marker shows. Because then you have to write it in your brain. Right? You see, you guys are coming up with the concepts that you somewhat know, but we got to start to take all of our biblical knowledge and use and express it out this way. We're beginning to see that holy is this concept that it's not regular. It's elevated even. I think that's fair. It's without any sin, without flaw, without imperfection, without defect, without taint. It's unapproachable in the sense that it's so far apart. That goes back to the set apart. It's so far apart. It's almost unapproachable. I kind of like that concept. One way to understand holiness is this concept of unapproachable. So Wendy, that was a great shot. You take a shot in the dark and this actually sticks, right? Most of the time when we think about, holy, we think about this aspect of morally pure, okay? And I want you to remember that. Because we're thinking in the context of like doing good, there's all good, there's no bad, there's no bad, there's no sin. A lot of this area here, my answer is really like, you can't even see it. That's when you know God's like blessing this concept, right? So this, what are we doing with this? This area here of without sin, without blemish, purity, without sin, this is the common understanding of holiness. It's a moral perspective. It's a sin, no sin perspective, okay? I want you to remember that because we're going to start from here next week that we're thinking morally pure. But I'm gonna drop a concept for you that is part of the idea, okay? So this is true. All the things you guys were thinking about in terms of no sin, no blemish, no mark, no tainting, no bad stuff, no scars, Jesus has scars, right? So, but like no pock marks, right? No blemish, okay? This concept is true in part. And next week, I'm going to show you that there's an aspect to the Old Testament that we really have to understand as not just morally pure, but there's another perspective, okay? That's where we're going to go next week. That's my little cliffhanger for you. So you'd be like, oh yeah, I want to come back and really figure out what that is. Because that's what will bring you back, right? You're like, yeah, I really want to find out what other type of meaning there is to holiness, okay? I'm just kidding, you probably won't. But just come back anyways, and I'll tell you what that is. The concept, though, that I want to leave you with that Wendy brought up here is unapproachable. A great analogy to God's holiness is like the way we would understand the sun, okay? The sun is unique among all the planets, right? Yeah.
Because it's not a planet.
Because it's not a planet, right? within our little, what do you call the things that rotate around the solar system? I'm a scientist. I want to tell you, you know, when you're not cool and you say, like, I'm cool, like, that's when you know you're not cool. Like, I'll always say that I'm a scientist, because that's when I'm not a scientist. So within our solar system, the sun is unique. And within the solar system, the sun is powerful, right? The sun is what everything revolves around. And the sun gives what? Life. The sun is good in all these senses, yeah? The sun gives life. But if you try to approach the sun will bring death. Yeah? Because it's so great. You see, so you took a shot in the dark, and you're right, you triggered that picture for me, right? The sun is good. It's unique, it's powerful, it gives life, but if you try to get too close to the sun has this element of, this is no bueno, this is not good. You can't just approach me that way. And it's the same goodness that gives life, the same goodness that makes it unique, the same goodness that makes it powerful. It's actually not, there's nothing bad about the sun. It's not the badness of the sun that would kill you if you got close, right? It's everything that the sun gives off that is good. Yeah, you guys with me? That you don't want to mess with either. Yeah, you guys understand that? Wow, Wendy just gave us a super good preachable example, right? So I want you, that's where we're going to go. We need to see God and His holiness outside of traditional Bible class, Sunday school, children worship lines. And the whole church needs this, by the way, but you guys are lucky enough to be in this class, right? So let's end there, seeing that the sun is really good. The sun is so good that without the sun, there would not even be life. It's only because you're at the right place, yeah? The earth is in the right proximity, and the sun can provide life and its power. The sun generates a lot of power, and the sun is unique. The sun is good. But it's that same goodness that could kill you. You don't get killed by its badness. You would get killed because of all of its goodness. It's just too much. Yeah? You guys with me? All right. So we're going to end there. We're going to go there next week. That's kind of a little trailer, a little hanger. And yeah, good. All right. I'm also going to ask the seniors to hang out, but the frosh, college frosh, so we could get some time locked down, because you guys literally only gave us like 30 minutes to like talk. All right, so let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning again, and for all of our navigating through concepts, Lord, you're leading us to a picture of you to understand who you are. And I'm so glad when we have Sunday school classes, getting into the Word and helping us to understand and know you before we always want to understand ourselves. Because the more we understand you, the more we will understand ourselves. But we want to start with you and honor you and to grasp who you are. And it puts us in our place. It actually humbles us. And when Wendy said the word today, that God, your holiness is what makes you unapproachable, it's so true. But it's because you are so good. It's not just your absence of bad, Lord. It's the fact that you're so good and your goodness is so powerful that if we got too close with you in the wrong way, we cannot approach you. And yet we thank you because we're in the New Testament and we're in the New Covenant, and we realize that the Bible says that those who have been far have now been brought near. And we can approach you only because of what Jesus has done. And that really should help us try to wrestle with how much really did Jesus do? What did Jesus really do to be able to bring us near to the Son, our God? And so thank you, God, for being a holy God. And as we explore who you are, enrich in our lives. And as I pray for those in this room that have been drifting recently, I don't know who they are, but you know who they are. They've been drifting from you, and I pray that they would ask you to help them, and that you would draw them close again and help them bring their walk closer to you. We thank you, God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.